I'd like to welcome you to the talk, Trusted Identities for the Cloud Using Open Source Technologies. Upfront, we are so few, so I would like to ask if I can talk in German, or if it's, are there any English speakers here? Okay. Yeah. In this talk, I'm going to present two software projects, Skydentity and the Open eCard app. I guess in this context and this conference, the Open eCard app is the more interesting one. After a short introduction of identity management and the eCard API framework, because we're talking about strong crypto tokens, I'm going to present the Skydentity project, which is a commercial one, but I want to show it here to give you a context where is, where are such strong identities used. After that, I'm going to show you the Open eCard app, which is not released so far, and so you won't find it on the net. So, what are identities? In the social sciences, we talk about. We define complete identities as the sum of all attributes of any entity a person possesses. That means your hair color, your taste of music, everything. This is very impractical when you want to use that in a computer. So a digital identity is defined as a subset of a complete identity, a fixed subset of attributes which are more or less persistent over time, so that you can use it. It's also called a partial identity because it's a subset. with that definition, you can define an identity management system which is responsible of managing those attributes. At this point, it's not about authentication, but it's just about managing the attributes. When you need authentication, you can define that the identity management creates assertions of partial identities, which are handed over to another party to prove the user is exactly this one. The classical EDM systems are site local. That means that the EDM system is encapsulated in a realm and only available in that realm. That realm is maybe your computer, maybe a company, maybe something even larger. But the identity cannot be put into another realm. That's the key point of local systems. Examples are shadow files, databases, Active Directory, all that stuff. On the contrast, federated identity management systems have identity providers and service providers, and the service provider may be in a different realm than the identity provider. For that to work, you need a trust relationship between service provider and identity provider. Otherwise, the assertion about a user's identity would be useless. Popular examples are Kerberos, SAML, OpenID, OAuth, and many more. A federated system looks like this. This is a very abstract picture. It's protocol agnostic because in some protocols, you don't have a link between service provider and identity provider. This, in that case, it's just a trust relationship. So, where do we stand now? We still have passwords, and every crypto and security expert says that's terribly wrong. It's because passwords are very simple to use. You can take them with you in your head. It's just pure knowledge. And the reason because we have them is They're cheap. You can create a new one. If you lose it, request a new one from a provider. That makes it very convenient to use passwords. but the problem is identity theft is really easy. And we see that in lots of phishing attacks, cross-site scripting to collect passwords, Sony hacks, for example, lots of this stuff. And there are rumors that this is all better if you use single sign-on systems. So use your Google ID for everything. But when someone steals your password of your Google account, he has access to all sites, not just one. So it's not better. What could be the rescue? Any tokens. In the security scene, we talk about multi-factor authentication. It means you have a possession and knowledge, meaning a PIN, password, whatever. The growing one-time password tokens are growingly popular. This also includes mobile TAN and even chip TAN to a certain degree, where you are presented with a challenge and create a one-time password in that sense. Biometry, it's very difficult to say if that's a good token because it strongly depends on the reader, on the kind of reader. You probably heard of the CCC findings where they copied Mr. Schäuble's fingerprint and that stuff. But there are also strong biometry features, and they get even stronger if you combine them. But you need hardware, and that's kind of difficult. X509 certificates, that's pretty good because you can save, you can restrict the usage of your certificate with a key passphrase or whatever. So you have a, not really a possession, but a soft possession. You can steal the certificate, but somehow you can't just carry it around in your head. and the high security token is the smart card with PIN or even certificates as it's used today. So why is nobody using it? I already said it somehow. It's difficult to use. The tokens use protocols to talk to some authentication service or whatever, and they are mostly proprietary. It's really hard to get to use such a token. And the result of this is there are not many applications that use such tokens. A serious problem I see when using such tokens is that it can be lost or the token is destroyed somehow, and then you have no way to retrieve a new one that has the same characteristics as the old one. In the case of a smart card, a private certificate is on the card. Unless someone else knows the private certificate, it's lost, and you can't you can't access your account anymore. It has a price. Most users aren't willing to pay because there are no applications. That's it, basically. In the eCard API framework, I want to address the problem of the protocols, so that you have a framework which is usable to access tokens over the network. So this text up is from the specification, and it basically means that you have network transparent access to certain abstractions of hardware tokens. The basis is XML and SOAP. Not my favorite, but it works pretty good. This is the architecture. I said different abstractions. Beginning from the button, you have the terminal layer. It's more or less PCSC, as you see on the right, or any other low-level card access frameworks. On top of the terminal layer, you have the service access layer, which is also specified in ISO 24727-3. I usually say this in German, so. This layer adds abstractions, so you can use the card without knowing what is in the card. And yeah, not exactly, not knowing where it is in the card. You don't open file in the card, but you say, I want certificate XY, something like that. It's an abstraction, and this abstraction is on the protocol level, so if the card has the feature, it doesn't matter anymore which card you use. You just can replace the token, and it works with the same protocol. And on top, you have an identity layer, which is authentication. You'll see later on. Skydentity project is a research project from the BMWi, which tries to bring identities to the cloud. And if I say that, cloud is often associated with identity theft, security problems, and so on. So do I really want to put my identity into the cloud? I said BMWi with the Trusted Cloud project, conglomerate, whatever. They found Skydentity, and there are other projects which are also somehow related to the cloud and with different aspects. So we have the identity aspect. What is it about? It's about creating the infrastructure. You saw on the previous slide the abstract architecture picture. Cloud Connector is the service provider on the left. Protocol IDP is on the top. On top of that, you have EID server backends, which actually talk to the cards, but we see that on the next slide. And of course, you need a client because browsers can't access smart cards. That's just a problem. Another goal is to make it easy. As I said, using strong cryptography for authentication is really a problem. And if you think about it, which tokens did you use recently to authenticate yourself against any service? One goal to raise the acceptability is to combine multiple identity providers, meaning different types of cards. Because even if you have a common protocol, which you can talk with cards, the back-end servers don't support this yet in this degree. For modern cards, you always need certificates, and the servers aren't ready to use them. They're more or less, okay, you have this card, then you must use this server. Yeah, and as a result, to be useful, the user must accept to use strong cryptography because it's sufficiently easy. For Skydentity, we have to extend the picture from the previous picture. We have a service provider as usual with Cloud Connector, which takes responsibility of the authentication. This can be an OAuth, this can be SAML, this can be OpenID, whatever. instead of the identity provider, we have an EID broker, which just relays the connection to the actual authentication service, meaning the IDP, which is either an EID server, this is the name for the German EID card, or a one-time password server, or an Active Directory, whatever. On the left side, you have the browser, and as I said, you need an application which is activated by the browser. at the moment, the activation is by an object, meaning browser plugin, but in the future, if I remember correctly, this is from end of July, you activate the client by a HTTP request to a local host address. yeah, it's questionable whether this is a good practice to open a client on localhost. I'm sure the designers had only Windows machines in mind where just one user is logged in, but think of a kiosk system with multi-users. This may be a problem. Yeah, and to finish this picture, the EID client then exchanges messages with the EID server, proves his identity to the EID server, and this in turn returns the proof, meaning the assertion, to the service provider, so this one knows that he's logged in. just to remember, this idea is exactly the same as you have with Google ID, Facebook, whatever, just that you use a smart card here. So how could it look like? Exactly the same. You have a sign-in with Twitter, Facebook, or Skydentity. But on the next step, you receive a page, for example, maybe other, maybe different, where you see your tokens available to the application. Yeah, we're from Germany, so we have using the current German cards. What happens next is part of the client, which is shown afterwards. So the benefits, if you have multiple EID providers, you can use one identity, but with different tokens. By that, you can lose one token, but still access the service as you have got another one left, and don't have to use user and password, which is weaker to prove your identity. it's pretty easy to support new tokens because the ECAD API defines a specification of chip cards that that can be used, so you don't have to write a new protocol backend. You just replace a card info file, and this thing works. yeah, of course, it's much easier to integrate just one service instead of N EID services. And if you ever tried to integrate one, believe me, you just want to do it once. Another point I haven't covered here because the main topic is indeed the Open eCard app, is those crypto tokens give you the possibility to use pseudonyms. That means you create a cryptographic identifier, which is in fact your username, and this one can be site-specific because you have a crypto processor on the card, and you use your secret plus the identifier of the site you want to log in, and you get another identifier for each of them, which is reproducible, so you can log in again. And so in fact, using such a card is good for your anonymity. This thing's far from ready. We started in February, and yeah. So you know the context. That's the main reason I showed it here. Now the Open eCard app. You've probably heard of the Ausweis app, which was released last November, and the one in the upper left. But there are many others. Below that, you have Ageto, which is one of the bigger EID server manufacturers, and they have a client. And on the right, you see a version for Symbian Java ME-based client. So what's the problem with those clients? None of them have available source code, which can be a problem if you want to prove by source that the application is secure. They are pretty much limited to the EID, German EID card. That's also a problem, especially for the Skydentity project when we want to use different cards. They don't have card info support. That's the reason why they are limited to the EID card, to the German EID card, because if you want to support another card, you have to write code that does exactly the protocol for this specific card. Another very important point for Skydentity, because it's a research project, is that the eCard API is still changing, and you have to wait quite a time before such new features make it into the usable releases. For example, the activation with the localhost request was specified nearly about a year ago, and no client I know, the Ageto client has it, but it's the only one. So you have to buy it, because this one is a commercial one, and otherwise you can't use it. another aspect we need in Skydentity is that we want to support non-web SSO logins. I showed you login to websites, but when you are in a company, it may be necessary to make enterprise rights management. That's typically done with XAML. And yeah, you don't have a website to log in. So that's a problem. And of course, ports to other platforms. I don't know how many have tried the Ausweis app on Linux. None? Yeah. Don't try it. It's not very funny. Okay, so ports are a problem, and I think the Mac OS X client has similar problems. The only usable version is the one for Windows. So how am I supposed to use my shiny EID card? I don't know. Yeah. And apart from that, that's not covered in this talk, is there may be other use cases than authentication and signatures. So, what's the Open eCard app? It will be a dual license, GPLv3, because we repackaged source code, unless we would have chosen GPLv2. It's also available proprietary, similar to Qt, because the core of the eCard app may be usable for toolkits or some companies may use it in a completely different way and modify it heavily. And so we choose to also make it proprietary, so that's an option at all. the application is heavily modularized, so that you can rearrange the code in different ways and support different use cases. One may be, for example, a card inspector based on the abstract APIs. That's just one example, but there are many more, and this is achieved by the modularity. We release bundles for different platforms, and I don't mean operating systems, but different kinds of applications. We have, of course, a rich client. We are writing an applet for in-browser use, and we target Android apps. It's pretty lightweight in design. We basically only use one library, the other is just an interface wrapper, and that makes it, without optimization, some 4 megabytes in source code. It's Java, by the way, and otherwise it would be smaller. It's extensible also because of the modules. You can add protocols pretty easily based on the generic layer, which is really different than the other clients out there. You can integrate different front ends, meaning the interface to the EID server. With the EID servers as specified by the BSE, you use reverse SOAP called PAYOS, but there may be other protocols you want to use, for example, TLS channel binding or something like that. You can even create built-in protocol endpoints, meaning you authenticate yourself on one PC without an external service. And the user consent GUI is something special I want to show you later. As I already said, we have exactly one library. This is Bouncy Castle, and SLF4J is just a wrapper for logging. It's a log interface, and that's it. It's not really mentioned. I already said the first clients will be rich client, applet, and Android release. So, of course, this picture is pretty abstract, but it shows the different modules. It's intentionally that it's that abstract because you can just remove some modules and it still works. Take, for example, the IFD, which is the terminal layer, as explained earlier. You have a pin compare, which is intended to enter a pin, as with your credit card, for example. Parche is the pin entry for the German EID card, and if you say, I don't need that, I can just remove it. we have an event manager. This one performs the card recognition because if you want to use a card, you need to know which card it is. The recognition is also handled by the card info file, so you don't have to add an ATR, which is the standard procedure for now. But there are cards out there which have different versions but the same ATR. So in the e-card, it has been chosen to use a more complex approach where you can send card commands and recognize it by that. After a card is recognized, an event is dispatched, so the components that have registered on those events know that, for example, a new card is in the system and it has this type. the SAL is a generic layer, and there you see, for example, the EAC protocol. The EAC protocol is an attribute exchange protocol with strong cryptography by certificates. So the card verifies the certificate and then exchanges encrypted attributes which only the EID server can read. Generic crypto would be a protocol which is usable for TLS authentication. So you could use your card to back up a TLS channel to a website and thereby hand over your user attributes. So the website can directly identify you as the user. The whole thing is the messages usually walk over the dispatcher because you may have multiple instances of, for example, a SAL and so on, and the dispatcher takes care of that, that each module receives the right messages. Transport is the binding to the EID server. As I said, PAYOS is the protocol for the German card. But there may be others. STALL is, I think, the Austrian. And EIDAL is Belgium. So on top of that, you have the GUI. And if you know some bits of GUI design, you would say, no, this is totally wrong. Because in that case, we don't build the GUI upfront and then hook in code, but we define a generic GUI description based on types, not a language, where you can aggregate forms and user consent as you see later. The reason for that is because each protocol may need input from the user. In EAC, for example, you request a PIN and you request the user to accept the transfer of certain attributes. And that all happens in the protocol. So you need a mechanism in the protocols to present a user consent to fetch these parameters. And of course, when we want to port this from, for example, Java SE to Android, we have totally different GUIs. So it must be replaceable on completely abstract level. So that's how the rich client looks. I took the screenshots yesterday on my KDE 4 desktop. What you see here is the usual user consent as you see it also in the other clients for EIC. You can see who is requesting my data. You can inspect the certificate of the EID server if anyone does. Then you're requested to accept the transfer of certain attributes. Those are pre-selected by the server, but you can send additional ones, which is somehow pointless. But you can also see, okay, this server, or respectively the service provider, wants to know my my name. And I don't want to transfer my name. I just want to say, okay, here, see, I'm over 80, something. Then you can decline to transfer the request. And the final step is you enter the PIN, so the access is granted on the smart card. What you see here is the same entry, but from a different layer. If we go back, this is also part of EAC, but we have the possibility to use a lower protocol to fetch this input. And then you would not define it in the EAC protocol, but in the IFD layer. So that's what I tried to explain beforehand. So the current status. Complete features are Dispatcher, the recognition engine, the event engine, and the Swing user consent and Android user consent GUI. Almost complete features, IFD and SAL, and card info, they are almost complete because the specification is really, really big. And it also covers parts you only need in the server. So we try to focus on making this thing work with EAC and TLS authentication for the German eHealth card. And so it's not really a problem that those aren't complete. The current development of EAC and TLS is mostly done. We should release this pre-release in the next days. The next milestone will be documentation and testing, because when we publish this thing, we don't want such a debacle as with the Ausweis app in the first days. The final release will include beta testing, probably some companies who have experience with that kind of stuff, so that the feedback is reasonable. And our release date is set to 15th in August. If you want to participate, it's of course only possible after the initial release. It has a reason, because we are afraid that other companies who develop EID clients steal knowledge and release a feature. We need to distinguish the client before we release it, and so the active participation will only be possible after August, after the initial release. And the other point is that we want to release a somewhat stable base, so that we don't receive negative critics from press or from anyone else, because it's not ready. So that's the point. Yeah. After that date, if you want to help, of course, explore the code and find bugs. That's probably the most important one, because security software lives from people who find bugs. The activation request dispatcher, this is the point I just mentioned before. The localhost link may be accessible by other users on the system, so if you have a multi-user system, you can install a dispatcher for multiple OpenECard instances. So say every user has an instance, you have a dispatcher which only forwards the request if the user is on the same accession or somewhat. PKCS12 module, this is the classical API you use for X509 certificate TLS authentication. Those are integrated in the browser, and you supply a module which talks to an actual card, and instead of talking to the card directly, we imagine that you use a module talking to the eCard app on an abstract level, so that wouldn't be so much code, depending on how complex PKCS12 is. I'm not really sure about that. Our current GUI is in Swing. It would be nice to have a Qt GUI, which would much better integrate into the Linux desktops. Smart Card Inspector, that's nothing that's on our roadmap, but if you want to try J Smart Card Explorer, that's a project where you can insert the low-level commands of a card to read memory or write memory or trigger any commands. And a Smart Card Explorer, which is card info-based, could be could be usable by clicking on, say, a file and read the file, because you know the file is there and you know the location of the file, and you just say, give me that file, and you don't need to fiddle around with the low-level details of the card. And if you want to become part of our team, come to us. So the summary of what I wanted to tell you is that you should use hardware tokens because they're so much more secure and identity theft is not a problem, not really a problem, and using that, of course, in the right context. And with the right tools, you have also an increased privacy. That's something not everybody accepts, but and it also depends on the cards, but it is possible, and yeah. I personally think that a free OSS app is important to make the whole thing more secure, and I suppose such severe bugs as with the OSS app wouldn't be possible if you have a good community. That's, of course, the precondition. And together with the Skydentity project, you have a single sign-on system. So, but that's not the only message. Okay. That's that from me. Do you have any questions? No. Okay, then thank you.